All right, let's open up a prayer tonight. So, dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We ask that Pastor and team win their baseball game tonight. Just thank you for the opportunity to serve the community in that way. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in your name, study your word, and we just ask that you would be glorified through this time. And that we would just look into what you would have to say to us and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so two Wednesdays ago, I think I had an opportunity to speak, and we looked at Galatians 5 a little bit. I want to start there again tonight. We're going to kind of zero in on something tonight, but before we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we compared that to 2 Peter 1 and the list in 2 Peter 1 and how that compares. And I don't know if you remember, but we kind of compared the fruit of the Spirit, which is a natural byproduct of the indwelling Holy Spirit that we receive at salvation. But when we compare that to the list in 2 Peter 1, that list is sandwiched on either side at the beginning of the list and the end of the list by diligence. That, you know, we're called to be diligent to add to our faith goodness, and goodness virtue, and the virtue self-control. So there's a mix, there's this balance in our life experience of Jesus living in us, producing out of his Spirit the fruit that comes from him just naturally being there, and then our engagement, our action, our diligence, being purposeful in our life to be engaged with the fruits of the Spirit and the principles of each one of them, and engaging with Christ, engaging with who is resident. You know, who else is also resident in us? The old man of the flesh, right? Now, Pastor said it this way before, it's a lot like a machine and a flywheel. We can engage that flywheel, but we have the will and to engage the flesh or to engage the Spirit. And we are no longer powerless. It's no longer a direct drive only driven by the flesh. All right. So we are free from that. We have the opportunity to disengage and engage the Spirit. And to some degree, that will happen automatically. But if you look at the application in 2 Peter chapter 1, that it takes diligence to actively engage with the Spirit and to practice the principles of the Spirit and the principles of the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to start out tonight looking at one of these aspects of the flesh. So if you read with me in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So a pretty explicit list there. And I think we see examples of all of those in our society, and we're exposed to all those. Just if you're not, you can just turn on the news, and you certainly can be. But what's interesting is if you read the King James, after idolatry, it uses the word witchcraft. And if you look at the Greek word for this word, witchcraft, it's kind of interesting. And I'm pulling up my blue letter Bible here. So it's actually, let's see, idolatry. What is this one? So this one in verse 20, in New King James, uses the word sorcery. Okay, so in the word sorcery, Does anyone know what the Greek word for that is? I think it's very interesting. So the word is pharmakia.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's where we get our word pharmacy from. And if you look at the definition of this, I clicked on the wrong thing. I wanted to read this to you. The definition of pharmakia, the use or the administering of drugs. Pretty clear. Second one, poisoning. Three, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. So, but before, I probably should have asked you this before I even read that definition, but when I say the word witchcraft, what does that make you think of? Does anybody have some examples?
Casting spells.
Casting spells.
Evil.
It is interesting, right? We kind of get these definitions built up in our head based on what we're exposed to. We, you know, in our culture, we read about the Salem witch trials, which is, you know, basically a hoax, right? You know, it's like you turn in your neighbor and that one's a witch and, you know, they're hanging people. And but, you know, and then those other definitions, I forget who made those ones, but the Strong's is pretty similar. Medication, pharmacy, by extension, magic, literally or figuratively, sorcery, witchcraft. I fully believe that when one participates in recreational drugs, they take the keys to their mind and they hand them right to Satan and say, have fun. And we are called explicitly in the Word of God to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So how can you guard with a gate or a wall or a door your heart in Christ Jesus and then take the keys and give them to Satan and say, have fun? The two are contradictory, right? There's only three places that we see this word pharmakia. One is here in Galatians 5:20. The other is in Revelations 9. And we just studied this recently in our Revelations class. It's in 9:21, but I'll back up to verse 13. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, those who sat on them, and had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts. So here in the New King James, it's translated sorceries again in verse 21. But they didn't repent of this opportunity to engage in this freeing of the mind through drugs, engaging in what our Bible calls witchcraft. And I'm, before I say it, let me just, let's look at the third use. The third use is also in Revelations, and this is in verse, or chapter 18. And this time it's in verse 23. And if, you know, and this is the finality of Babylon's fall, back up to verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of millstones shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of earth, for by your sorcery all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth." So notice, by your sorcery, all nations were deceived. You know, so this is this engaging in these mind-altering drugs to open up the mind to the demonic and to Satan and his realm is a method of deception. And, you know, and so you see all the... We see examples and we hear examples of all the crazy and just stupid stuff people do while participating in recreational drugs and mind-altering drugs. People think they can fly and they'll jump off a balcony. You know, people think they're invincible and they'll, you know, take on a whole police force. You know, and they, you know, just dumb stuff. You know, people think that they can take as many drugs as they want, and so we have overdoses like crazy, and we're picking dead bodies off. I heard it in Rochester, three of them on one porch this last week. The policeman had to go, and they found two of them all three were parents, and two of them were parents together, and they found six of their kids up in the attic hiding because all their parents had OD'd and were dead on the porch. And you just think, like, this... deceived, like they wanted to escape, and you know, and they engaged in pharmakia, and they engaged in this practice of witchcraft, and Satan just gets drunk with it. He just laughs, because remember the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I say this because our society is taking these men and women of practice that are reputable, we call them doctors, and they are prescribing mind-altering drugs to address anxiety. You can now get a prescription for marijuana to deal with your anxiety. And it's being celebrated in our culture. No longer can an employer in this state discriminate against somebody for marijuana use. You used to be up until a couple months ago. You test positive for marijuana, we're not going to hire you. Oh, now you can't even discriminate. It's against the law. So we've gone from having this practice of witchcraft being illegal to now it's protected and celebrated. And so now people are using this stamp of approval from our courts and from doctors to celebrate a culture of pharmakia, of witchcraft. And they're engaging in it, and they're deceived. And it's ruining people's lives. Now, I do want to be careful here because, you know, studies have shown that there's chemical imbalances that occur, and, you know, doctors can prescribe certain medication. Is all medication bad? No, that's not what I'm saying. There's, you know, for example, we live in the north. What do we have a deficiency of up here in the north? It's mostly cold here all year long, right? Why? Because we don't get as much sun. So we're all short on vitamin D. It's taking vitamin D to supplement your, you know, your chemical balance in your body wrong? No, of course not. Okay, so let's, you just want to balance this out here. There is, you know, a place for the good practice of medicine to be healthy. That's not what I'm saying here, but that's not what's going on with this. You know, and marijuana is only one. I mean, you have these people that are participating in fentanyl and heroin and Oxycontins, and I hear all these new names. It seems like there's a new one all the time that they've manufactured, and you know, but Satan is using the, and it's, and this isn't new. There's nothing new under the sun. This was taking place. We have examples of it right here in Scripture. It was written thousands of years ago. That was occurring back then, and you know, Satan used it then, and he's using it today. But let's be challenged to not follow our culture and engage in our culture. You know, Christianity is almost always countercultural, unless there's a cultural revival happening, which is rare. You know, but it is in history. We have examples of them here. You know, Book of Acts was just awesome. You know, the time right after Christ ascended. You know, and we've certainly heard of others in our history. Was Albert Finney, was that his first name? One that traveled this area and had revival tent meetings. And then there was Ryman, who was a riverboat captain. They named the Ryman Auditorium after him in Nashville, Tennessee. That's how they got the name, the Ryman, by the way. Sam Ryman, I think. He was a riverboat captain. He stopped at one of the revival meetings that they were having along the river there, and they were having a revival meeting, and he got saved. And he said, you know, God ought to have a better building than this tent. And so he built this beautiful church there in Nashville. And it was pretty cool because I had to go down there for work. And they have a lot of secular concerts there now in Ryman Auditorium. But Stephen Curtis Chapman put together this concert series called Sam's Place. And they still got stained glass windows in the auditorium and everything. You can tell it was a church. Beautiful sound in there too. And he says, you know, this place was built as a house of worship. And he goes, you know, tonight we're gonna take it back for the purpose it was built. And so he invited all these Christian artists, and I guess they would do this about once a month. He'd bring some popular Christian artists, and he'd challenge them all to use this time to release a new song and present a new song to the people that came to these concerts. It was so worshipful. It was the night I went, I just happened to catch it just in time. I was flying in for work, so I flew in on a Sunday night and dropped my stuff off at the hotel, and I made it there like 15 minutes before the concert started. And they had Big Daddy Weave and Matt Mayer and, of course, Stephen Curtis Chapman, loving the outcome. And it was just cool, and it was very worshipful, and it was just great. Anytime you just worship with God's people and they're just worshiping at the top of their lungs and, you know, the sounds bouncing off the walls, it's just awesome. You know, but that's the controlled participation of fellowship with God's people. That's guarding your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. You are, you know, especially if you're born again, you have Christ in you, and you are sealed till the day of redemption, and you're not even vulnerable to the enemy. Now, I say that. Can the enemy influence your thoughts by listening to his messages? Yes. Can you act upon those? Yes. Can you engage like that? We're talking about that machine. Can you engage with the old man, the flesh that's resident in it? Yes. But can he claim your soul? No. So that, you know, so we can now rest. And you think about that, you know, to trust and obey, just to rest in who we are in Christ and to rest in the knowledge that we do have the indwelling Holy Spirit and to trust God for the outcome, but at the same time, be diligent, like it says in 2 Peter 1, to build upon our faith. And how does our faith grow? Romans 10:17, by hearing the word of God, right? So the way that we add to it, the way that we diligently add to it is by this tonight, that we spend time in the word. So what does Philippians say? Be anxious for nothing, but yeah, so by prayer, go ahead, keep going. And the peace of God. Amen. Oh, that's awesome, Kathy. You got that memorized. You know, by present your prayers by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah. And you know, so it's of course. What are we thankful for? We're thankful for what Christ has done for us and in us, and is doing in us and through us and with us. And so we make our requests made known to him. But, you know, if you think about any time that you've been anxious, you think about what are you anxious about? Every time I've been anxious, it's because there was something that I didn't know. I just didn't know what it was going to be like. I don't know what's going to happen. What are we going to do if? What are we going to do if, you know, you hear about anxious people, it's, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? What are we, you know, and I don't want to make light of people that struggle with anxiety because it's very overwhelming. Amen. And, you know, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling with anxiety and help them, especially in the Word, and walk with them and come alongside them and remind them, okay, yeah, we don't know. Let's agree there. But he does. And Jeremiah 29:11 says that his thoughts towards us are of peace, to prosper us, and to bring us to an expected end. So if his thoughts towards me are of peace, is he going to let me go through some trials? Well, yeah, he told us that. But he what did he say? He said, you know, in 1 Peter, if need be, we will go through diverse trials because they test us, right? And produce patience in us. So they're for my benefit. So the one who holds eternity in his hand and has control is only going to allow me, I say that because I don't believe God specifically directs the trials and temptations. I believe he allows them. We see that with Job. You know, Satan had to ask permission of God to touch him. Now, God did suggest him. He said, hey, do you consider my servant Job over here? So he facilitates. He allows it to go on, but only if it's necessary, if need be, and I don't have the exact verse in my memory, but it's 1 Peter 1. Christ, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And we see in Revelations, you know, we've been studying it. We see that he's going to take the church out before he you know, pours out his wrath on the earth. And then we're going to come back with him as he executes his wrath on the ungodly. And then we reign with him. So we even know what's going to happen on the other side of the trials. God is gracious enough to reveal that to us. So he has, in his loving graciousness, shared his plans with us to reduce some of that anxiety so that we would know and could remind ourselves and talk ourselves down out of that anxious position that, oh, wait a minute, yeah, God's thoughts towards me are of peace, to prosper me, and to bring me to an expected end. He has a plan for our life. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Ephesians 2:10, called on the good works before ordained that we should walk in them. God's got specific works for us to do. So he does, you know, sometimes people feel just, oh, maybe I'm just this little speck. I'm lost in the greater whole of the body of Christ. God's not so concerned with me individually. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He's you know, says he bottles our tears and he knows the number of hairs on our head. And, you know, he's given us gifts to edify the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. He's placed each member individually in the body where it has pleased him in 1 Corinthians 12. You know, he loves us that intimately and that individually. Yes, we are positionally accepted corporately in the body of Christ. You know, every time you see the elect talked about, it's corporate. It's in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And that's hard for us because we are very individualistic as Americans. We tend to think individualistically. It's hard. We don't tend to think corporately. So, you know, Christ has accepted us in the beloved. You know, that's our standing. We are in Christ when we are accepted. We aren't accepted individually because of who we are in a sense of righteous standing. That is only because of the blood of Christ. And I saw a pretty, every once in a while I'll see a good Facebook meme. There's not too many of them out, but there are some good ones. I saw one had a picture of a door with the blood on the post. And it said, you know, that angel of death just passed over because of the blood, not because of the person that was inside. And I thought, you know, that's truth right there. And that's the redemption story for us with the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not because of anything we've done, that justice was satisfied because he paid the sacrifice for us. It was his blood, you know, not dependent upon us. So we know, what's the Greek word for anxiousness? Anybody remember? Pastor's taught this a few times. Starts with an M. Merimna. Yeah. So it's solicited, right? Isn't that what that means? And, you know, you think about that, the solicitation. The picture is of a salesman knocking on the door. He wants you to buy his goods. And, you know, doesn't that just go hand in hand with this witchcraft principle? That he's knocking at the door. I want you to buy my, let's exchange. I got something for you. You give me something. What's he want? He wants time in your mind. He wants you to give him your attention. And in exchange, he's going to give you his thoughts, and they're worthless. You don't need them. Slam that door. Guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, we have his fullness, we have his joy, we have his peace. You know, you go back and you read the good list there in Galatians 5. You know, it's such a contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then, you know, he contrasts that, you know, rather than be conceited and arrogant, You know, what's he start right off with in 6:1? If brethren, if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Not, hey, knucklehead, what are you doing? Hey, stupid, you know, what are you doing? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to be acting like that. You know, he's in a spirit of gentleness. Because knowing that, you know, and he says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So don't get conceited and don't get tempted. So what's the balance in between there? Well, spiritual. Oh, well, where does the spirit come from? Oh, within. Why? Because you're some great person that's accomplished great things? No, because Jesus is in you. And we can have the choice to engage him. And we can use that engagement to share what he's worked in us and to work it out. And I, you know, I think that's the working out your salvation in Philippians 2, with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he puts the desire there, and he gives us the ability to do it, to walk in it, to carry it out. So that's all I have tonight, so let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And God, so much of our culture is just so anxious. And now, you know, the enemy is just wanting to medicate, so that he can just play around in our mind and just control society and just play and destroy and just ruin people's lives. And so, God, I just ask that you would help us to resist the devil. And you promise that if we did resist him, he would flee. We thank you that none of us is overtaken in a temptation except those temptations that are common among men. And yet, even in the temptations that we are struggling with, you're faithful. And you provide a way out of every one of them. Because either that's true or you're a liar. And we know that you're not. So, Lord, we just thank you for that truth. We thank you for your promises tonight. We thank you that you've never lied once. And we can trust you. And so, God, just help us to look up and to think on things above when we're tempted to give the enemy our attention. And we just ask that you would continue to go with us as we live among the world, but not be of them. We just thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.